The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. My name is Ted Tate, and today on Town Matters, we're sitting down once again with Duke Dotson, in charge of Dotson Development Group, to talk about what is now Phase 3 has broken ground on your project here in Colonial Beach, Duke.
Yeah, Ted, thanks for having me. Very excited to catch up again.
I'll start with that, because that's kind of the headline. People have seen that Willie's and some of that other stuff in front of the boardwalk there are gone. There's a fenced-in area and a whole lot of dirt, and it looks like some foundations being built. So that's where the condo goes, right?
Yeah, so that Phase 3 there, where Hawthorne and Irving intersect there, is what we're calling Phase 3. Downstairs is going to be two restaurants, and upstairs is going to be 9 condos. The condos are called Osprey Flats, and then the two restaurants are called Drift and Muse. Drift is a low country cuisine seafood concept, and Drift is from the name Drifter from Colonial Beach, but also kind of referencing like drifting away on, you know, drifting on a boat. That's where the two ladies that are running the two restaurants, they got the name from. And then Muse is going to be a pizzeria and arcade. The name Muse actually is a reference to Berkeley Muse, who a young man who lost his life in the Oyster Wars. So when the two ladies that are running those two restaurants, Kelsey and Robin, you know, they live in Richmond now, and they're relocating to Colonial Beach to run those two restaurants, and they'll live here full time. When they started researching the history of Colonial Beach and kind of understanding the town, they kind of learned about the Oyster Wars and kind of, you know, learned a lot about that, and that's where that name came from. So it's also playing on the word amusement, you know, so it's got a, you know, both the names of the restaurants have a couple different meanings, but very excited to get that off the ground, and we're hoping those restaurants open this summer, and then the condos above it should be, you know, finished up kind of late summer, early fall.
Oh, wow. So that's moving along quickly.
We hope so. I mean, construction in the world today is I think every time I see you, like, construction has even gotten slower and slower in the world, and not just here in Colonial Beach, but in Richmond and everywhere. So that is the schedule as they get it open this summer, and we really, really hope that is the case.
Nothing runs on schedule, but you try.
Correct.
Well, if they're half as inventive with the food as they've been with the names, it sounds like they'll be a great success.
I am very, very excited about these restaurants. They've hired really top-notch designers in Richmond. Campfire is a group that we worked with a lot on interior design, and the spaces are going to look great. They're going to be really, like, the Drift concept will be a little higher-end, not really high-end, but a slightly elevated concept, and then the Muse will be more of a casual spot. And so whatever you're looking for, the higher end experience or the more casual, you know, coming off the beach experience, I think both will be great there for the boardwalk.
And so that fills the bottom layer of the condo?
That's correct.
Two restaurants?
Correct. Yeah. The two restaurants combined would be about 9,000 square feet, like 4,500 each. So
that's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that includes, you know, your outdoor space, your indoor space, your kitchens, your bathrooms, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And then, so that hopefully will open by summer.
Yep.
And then the condos continue to be constructed and open in the fall?
Yeah, they should be like about a month or 2 months behind whenever the restaurants open. Mm-hmm. They're going to finish the kitchen, the downstairs first, and then kind of keep rolling upstairs. And then they'll be, you know, punching out those condos for about a month or so after the restaurants open.
And are the condos partly sold, fully sold?
Those are actually all reserved. You can't actually legally sell them until the about another month or two, until the HOA docs are finalized and all that. But all 9 of those condos were actually reserved before we even started.
Oh.
So a lot of demand for the waterfront condos. The overall real estate sales market has slowed down quite a bit the last 3 or 4 months, with the last 5 months really, with interest rates going up. And so it's kind of, in most parts of the world, the real estate market has slowed down a little bit, but those condos were reserved 6 months ago, and none of them have dropped out yet, so hopefully they will.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. With the interest rates, maybe some people would have potentially.
And it could happen, you know, it always could happen, but we do actually have a waiting list for those. So like if one of those drops out, I think we would be able to sell it pretty quickly. Interest rates have gone up quite a bit. You think sometimes with second homes, people are either paying in cash or putting like half, 50% down, so interest rates affect those folks a little less than it affects like first-time home buyers, for example.
And are some of those units facing North Irving rather than facing the water, or do they all have a water view?
Eight of them actually face the boardwalk, and then the ninth one is like just behind it, and it kind of has a side balcony that can see the water and can see Hawthorne, so it faces Hawthorne
on the south side.
Yeah, then. So none of them face Irving.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So eight face the water and one faces Hawthorne. Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. And let's talk a little bit about phase two, which has been going on for some time. The Kobe workspace is open for business.
Yeah. No, very. That's that project is one of my favorite I've ever worked on. It's been one of the most difficult, but it's pretty exciting once you go in it and see the restoration of that. It's just a beautiful building. High ceilings, tin ceilings. A lot of windows, some original stained glass from 100 years ago in the windows. The old bank vault. We've converted the bank vault into a conference room. So when you walk in the space, I know you said you haven't been in it yet, but it's about 2,500 square feet. It's the main space is a big, large co-working space where like the bank used to be and like the city kind of offices used to be. And then again, the vault is a conference room. If you go, we have one private office to the right. If you go around to the back, we're going to have another kind of like larger conference room that folks can rent out by the hour or by the half a day or by the full day for nonprofit meetings, strategic planning, trainings, whatever you need. It can fit 12 to 14 people pretty comfortably. But we've had a couple of events over there already, and I think the feedback from the public's been pretty great. People are really excited to see them. That's one of the most iconic buildings in Colonial Beach, and we did a historic rehab, and it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. I'm sorry I haven't had a chance to go in and see the results of your work, because I know you were dead set on trying to keep as much of the historic items as you could.
Yes, yeah, we wanted to, and because of the historic tax credit process, we had to, which is, you know, we would have done it anyway, but they make you keep as much as you can of the original ceiling, the doors, the windows, anything that is, you know, of the era in which the building was built. And so the downstairs is what we describe as the co-working space, and the upstairs is a two-bedroom apartment, and that's completed as well. They're actually furnishing it today as we speak.
Mm.
And then right behind it is the school board building that faces Irving. That building is done, and that building is a five-bedroom house that we're using as like a small bed and breakfast, like basically an Airbnb rental. And then right next...
So it'll be sort of in the traditional B&B style of multiple rooms that you rent out.
It's actually more of like you rent the whole thing.
You do rent the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's for like a larger group, you know, picture like a group that's coming in town for a wedding or a family with a couple of, you know, a bunch of kids or grown kids and grandkids. So it's a five-bedroom house, three baths, so it's a pretty good-sized house that a lot of folks in. And you can walk to the beach, you can walk to the restaurant, so pretty good location.
And that's nearly done, or?
That one, yeah, that one is done.
Okay.
That one is complete. We actually got the final inspection passed this week, so that one's done. And then the third building in that phase two is the, what folks call the Chamber Building. The Chamber of Commerce was there for a while. And that building,
and us,
and you, yeah, and your radio station. The upstairs is a two-bedroom apartment. The downstairs is going to be a wine shop, wine and cheese. So three local folks that you probably know, and I'll let them do their own PR in case they want to announce it on their own timeline who they are. But it's going to be called Circa 1892, and again, that's a reference to the town. The town was founded in 1892. So it's going to be mostly a wine and cheese shop. They'll sell specialty beer, gourmet items, probably some cigars, things like that. So we're very excited about that concept. I think just kind of filling in Hawthorne Street is something I think is very important to the town.
I agree.
To me, and we're going to do everything we can to kind of keep help pushing it along. But now with Kobe Workspaces open, you'll have the wine shop probably by May 1 it should open. Then you have Hawthorne Mercantile, which is there. And then you have Karen Self Sullivan open her shop, Peach Paws Boutique there. Peach Paws Boutique right next to Hawthorne Mercantile. So it's starting.
It's turning into a main street again.
It's getting there, sure.
Which is nice. It's funny, the concept of a wine and cheese shop is something I've been talking to people about for years, actually, saying what this town needs is a good wine and cheese shop, and I'd love to do it, but I don't have the knowledge or the money.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think timing's everything. I think, you know, some folks have wanted that kind of concept for a while, and I just feel like now might be the right time for it with a lot of folks asking for it. I think both locals and visitors will enjoy it. And then it might pull some other folks from other parts of the Northern Neck to come. Like, come for the day just to, because there's not really a wine shop in within, you know, within 45 minutes or so.
The trick on all of this, I think, mm-hmm. is getting, you know, it's a question of sort of chicken and egg, mm-hmm. is getting the people, for example, who are going to the beach off the sand mm-hmm. and onto the street
right.
to visit these shops and restaurants and things like that to sure. entice them away. Because from what I've seen, the way people use the beaches currently, mm-hmm. they tend to go to the beach and they don't move.
Right.
They bring their picnic lunch, they bring everything with them, sure. and they barely get off the sand, if sure. at all.
Sure.
But we need to entice them away and
yeah.
and get them to spend some money in Colonial Beach.
Yeah, that I think that and I think the events like the Sip and Stroll, did you go to that last week? The art walk.
Yeah.
So I know you guys have been doing the art walk for a while, and from what I understand it's getting better and better, and like now, you know, Kobe Workspaces was the one last week, and we had a local artist from Richmond come up for that. The wine and cheese shop would be a great addition to the Sip and Stroll.
Certainly.
And apparently the one last week was by far the best attended, and this is in December, which is pretty exciting. Well, I'll say it was the best off-season attendance, if when I was told. So I think events like that people start recognizing downtown Colonial Beach as a destination where you could eat, drink, shop, golf cart, some stuff for the kids to do, like the arcade. I think, you know, again, it's you build this thing one little brick at a time, and I think we're trying to do our best to keep moving it forward.
And then when you reach a certain critical mass, that's mm-hmm. when suddenly people are like, oh, there's this, and this all there. We can do right. a day trip, or we can do an overnight or a weekend.
Yeah, I do. And I like having several things to do downtown, which, you know, you already have some things like Hawthorne Mercantile, like I mentioned. You've got the brewery. You've got High Tide. You've got Umboon. I think the new Thai place has opened or it will open soon.
I guess I saw the sign.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is being recorded in December, but we'll air this in early 2023.
Okay.
So by the time you hear this,
it'll probably be open.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I agree. And I know that, I don't know how much you followed all the public meetings over the last 2 years. And when we were simply trying to get conditional use permits to do residential above this retail, like in the bank building and the chamber building, we got some pushback from folks. And I think they didn't really understand what we were trying to do here. We're trying to add beds to downtown Colonial Beach, and that increases the chance of someone coming and staying in an Airbnb, or possibly as a 12-month rental. And those folks will eat, drink, and shop in downtown Colonial Beach. And again, three units don't make a huge difference. But if you know, and I don't want to do 300, but with each project we're doing, we're adding 9 condos in phase 3. We've got 3 residential units in phase 2. And I think you've seen other folks buying and renovating houses nearby.
I was going to say, you're yeah. not the only game in town at this point. There
sure.
are other people who have said, Airbnb, that's the way to go. I'm going to mm-hmm. buy this place and renovate it and turn it into an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
The old jail building is a perfect example. That's
yep.
being turned into apartments.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, and I think some of these buildings are going to be 12-month rentals. I think some will be Airbnbs, and some folks will actually live in these units. And I think that kind of mixed product is good. It's good for the long-term health of a downtown to have different ways for people to enjoy Colonial Beach. Some people will live here full-time. Some have a house and come here 8 times a year. Some come twice a year. Some come for one day. But we want to make it as easy as possible for however you want to experience Colonial Beach. You know, you should be able to.
Yeah, you've got to have a variety.
Sure.
In all this, you mentioned the Kobe Workspace in particular
mm-hmm.
was some of the most fun you've had doing a project, but also mm-hmm. some of the most challenging.
Sure.
What have been your challenges?
Well, with the historic building, you get all kinds of challenges. Just give you like one example is like the tin ceiling, right? If you go in there and look at that building, and it's the tin ceiling it had is pretty similar to a lot of the buildings that we've renovated in Richmond, which about 100 to 110 years old. That kind of ceiling was pretty popular. And the historic tax credit process, the inspectors will come out and they'll kind of tell you what you have to preserve. And the ceiling was in pretty rough shape in spots, and it was in really good shape in others. I mean, there was like some that had fire damage, some that had leaks for decades, right? So what they make you do is if you can preserve the tin, you do. If you can't, you need to go buy tin that looks just like it. And if that doesn't exist, you need to get a mold created and then it's like kind of almost like replicas created.
So no matter what, they're sort of insisting that you have something that looks like what was there.
Yeah, and so a lot of places have one type of tin across the whole ceiling. That bank building had 4 different styles. And if you go see it, you'll see what I mean. Like, you have like this kind of one running through the center, and you have one running around like the circle in the middle, and then the border's different, and then the main tile is pretty like your standard kind of square tiles. But so we had four different types of tiles trying to track down. And so that, I mean, that just alone added probably 2 months to the project and some cost. But again, it's worth it. If you go in the, I mean, and again, when you go in there, you'll notice it's not perfect either, which is kind of cool. Like
you kind of expect that, though.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's perfectly imperfect when you go in there and see the ceiling. Like the contractors work long and hard to track down these tiles and to do the best they can to make it look like it did 100 years ago.
Well, and I think that kind of tells you when you're looking at it that that's real. It's not. Sure. It's not a brand new prefab that they've put up. It's the real thing that they've done the best they can with.
Sure. So yeah, it tells the story of the building, you know, which is, again, it's a very iconic building, really cool. And when you go see it, wait till you see the vault. I'll say that the vault is like the coolest. It's like a little conference room, and it kind of reminds you of an old kind of smoky back room, ballroom type meeting room. And our designers,
speakeasy,
very similar. Yeah, the lighting. And the decor that our designers went with a very cool 1920s vibe to match the era of the building.
And I remember when we were talking about different ideas you had for that space, mm-hmm. We talked about, well, how do you close the door to have a conference? What was your solution to that?
Yeah, so we don't want to close the big door, because right, we don't want to give you a locked in there, and it's a little claustrophobic.
I could see some people panicking.
Yeah, and we don't want to add like plexiglass or something that cheapens like the kind of experience. And so our designers did like this kind of really heavy like olive green velvet curtain. And then you can slide it closed if you want privacy. The way like the building's set up with like the HVAC, and like we have a little bit of white noise in there, you could sit in the conference room and have a meeting, and if you're 20 feet away, you really can't hear anyway. So if you're doing something very secretive where you don't want anybody to hear, maybe you pull the curtain closed. Otherwise, you can meet in there and have, you know, the way that's kind of tucked away in the back anyway.
The sound doesn't really carry is what you're saying out into the main room.
Correct.
And how are you doing with I don't know what you'd call them, tenants, clients?
Yeah, we call them co-working members.
Members?
Yeah, okay. So we've got a handful signed up. Linda Wright was our brave first sign up, and you can see on Facebook, she was so excited.
I saw her Facebook post.
Yeah, she signed up, I think, like a week or two ago, and then Lori's had a few more folks sign up, and, you know, we don't want it to be overly crowded. We want people to be able to comfortably work, and so we don't need to have like 40 or 50 members. I think if we have 15 to 20 co-working members, and on a given day, maybe 3 to 7 of them might be there, I think that's a pretty comfortable environment. So some people will just like use it in the summer. Some will just use it on long weekends when they're in town. So there's a variety of ways to.
That makes me think, how are they using the space? Is it tables? Is it mm-hmm. desks? What have you got in there?
So
again, because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, the open co-working space is a bunch of different tables and banquettes and booths kind of set up. So the way folks might use it, like some will actually probably use it full time. Not many people will be there 40 hours a week. Some will only use it when they have meetings. Again, some folks that maybe live in Northern Virginia or Richmond, they might work from their office Monday through Wednesday or Thursday, and they might come here and work here Friday morning. Like my family in the summer will likely come here a lot of Thursday around noon, and then I'll work Thursday afternoon in the co-working space, Friday morning, and then maybe at Friday at noon, we'll go hit the boat.
But it's open plan.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you rent one of the private offices, which you can do. And if you rent a private office, then you can just shut your door when you want to, and then you can pop out and you know, go get coffee, talk to someone.
And how many of those private offices are there?
So the original plan called for 3. And again, we have one rented, and then the other two are not rented yet. And we're waiting to see if someone wants to rent those, great. And if not, we may turn that section of two offices into a larger conference room permanently. So right now, we've kind of set up as a conference room. And if folks want to rent the conference room for an hour, half a day, or a day, they can. But if we seem to have more demand for that than for the private offices right now.
And the private offices, those don't rent by the day or the week. Those are you'd have to sign a 12-month.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if you do need to have a meeting, it's much easier, as you say, to rent for a half a day or something like that.
Correct.
And I can see why that would be more popular, because it's the one-off thing when you don't want to do a video call. You want to have people in person, and you need a room, and you don't normally have that space.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
What have been some of the other challenges you've had in the whole project overall? Maybe not just the Kobe space, but overall in this project?
I would say the biggest challenge is the world we're in today is just construction labor. Trying to get subcontractors to come from Richmond, Fredericksburg, other places. We've used Colonial Beach local vendors when we can, when they exist. And if they don't exist, then we're pulling them from other markets. And the last 2 years, construction has been challenging in places like Richmond and Fredericksburg. It's almost impossible to stay on schedule here because if a subcontractor, most of them have had more work than they wanted to have in the last 2 years. And so if their choice is take the same job for the same price 5 minutes from my house or 45 minutes from my house, they're going to take the job in Fredericksburg. And so we had a really hard time getting subcontractors. We've done it. You know, we will do it. We'll put, you know, all these challenges are over, you know, we can overcome them, but it's just added. Like Colonial Beach Phase 1 for us took about an extra 4 months than we'd like, and then Phase 2 is about 3 or 4 months.
And that wasn't supply chain, that was labor.
I would primarily say 25% of it was supply chain material, 75% was labor.
It's hard, I know, and everybody is talking about it, how you know, you can't even get a contractor to call you back,
sure,
never mind do a job, because they've got more work than they need. And,
sure,
you know, they need to sleep too.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's tough. I think you'll see the market changing as we speak, and maybe Q3, Q4 next year, we might get to a better equilibrium of labor and work, you know, available work. So I think that would be good for contractors and developers for sure.
And you mentioned the townhouses. The townhouses are now open, and you've closed on several of them, and people are living in them.
Yes.
I actually got a tour of one.
Nice.
Very nice inside. And then you've broken ground on kind of the next grouping of townhouses that are they're standalones. They're not side by side.
That's correct. So we've built the first 13 and sold and closed on them, and we built the pool and the putting green and the amenities is complete. And then we started on the next 10 units. As you said, they're, instead of townhouses that are touching, they're separated, so you have a little bit of a yard. And so those 10 units, we started about a month ago, and we hope to deliver those this summer.
So you've got a lot happening in the summer, a lot of deadlines to meet.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you want to get as much done for the summer as you can.
Of course.
Colonial Beach looks as good as it can for when the summer, you know, summer crowd hits.
Yeah. I mean, that's when everything happens here. So obviously, sure, I understand your desire to have the doors open,
sure,
and get that business and get people, in the doors of all these various businesses.
Absolutely.
Duke, is there anything I haven't mentioned since I've been a little out of touch with some of this that you want to talk about?
No, I think you covered everything. Phases 1, 2, and 3. You know, I would say so far so good on the projects. While there have been challenges, I think, you know, we've really enjoyed doing them, and we're looking at a few more possibly.
Here in Colonial Beach, or
elsewhere? We'll always be looking at stuff. You know, it's impossible to drive through any neighborhood and not say, "Man, I wish we could do this project and this project."
I remember you mentioning that you were talking about the dream job for whoever it is, and you said your description was if it's something that you think about all the time, whether you're at work or you're not at work, you're in the right line of work.
We had that conversation probably, was that maybe 6 months ago, maybe. And yeah, absolutely. I think I'm just naturally wired to drive around and want to figure out what can I do to make this street, this block, this neighborhood look a little better. You know, I love old buildings, and these old buildings need love. And when I see a blighted building or a vacant lot or something where we can, you know, make an improvement and improve the quality of life for the folks living and visiting that community, that gets me really excited. So, 3 projects in the works now, and we're always looking for more. You know, the interest rate environment has changed a lot, and the construction cost and labor situation is pretty high right now, so it's making projects a little more challenging. So it's possible that these ones we're looking at, we might wait 3 months or 6 months before we pounce. But we'll have to see what the interest rates do. It's pretty tough right now.
I have to say, I understand your fascination with this, although it's not something I do.
Yeah.
I do also look at buildings and go, wow, there's some potential there. That could be something,
right?
You know, especially a blighted building that you think, wow, this was cool at one point. This was a thing some, you know, 100 years ago. I mean, it's a shame that it sits and rots. I feel the same way about boats. I'm a boater, and I look at some old wooden boats and things like that and just go, oh, what a shame.
Father Time's undefeated, isn't he?
yeah. And you didn't mention the what was to be Phase 4, the hotel. Is that still on the books?
Yeah, so we certainly hope to do that project. The town and us have both come to an agreement that we We would like to get the parking situation straight for the sake of Colonial Beach downtown before we remove all that parking in phase four. Phase four is roughly 200 parking spaces that's used a lot right now for events, for beachgoers, for folks. And we're going to rebuild these restaurants that need parking, right? And so it's not that we don't want to do the hotel. We certainly would like to, but we also want to work with the town on their timeline on when other parking becomes available. And so we basically, they said, hey, can we just kind of wait till after the summer and then reconvene? And we said, sure. So we've kind of postponed that at least through the summer until everyone figures out the parking situation.
I do remember there being some pushback on that, and I can understand why. I mean, people feel like there isn't enough parking already.
Right.
And now you're talking about destroying 200 parking spaces.
Sure.
What happens then?
Yeah.
You don't have a way forward on that. And I guess, as you say, you've sort of postponed it and said, well, let me get through these other projects and let the town get through these other projects.
Sure.
Get everybody kind of used to the new situation and then take a fresh pair of eyes and look at it again. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I think that's what the town wants and that's what we want. You know, we don't want to build a bunch of things and then people can't get to them because of parking. So there's several scenarios that maybe we build a hotel on half the lot there and then the other half is still parking. There's other avenues we're exploring, but I think we've kind of come to agreement. Let's just wait after the summer and then decide.
Fair enough. Yeah. And then, meanwhile, you're also going to look at empty buildings and see what else you can do.
Absolutely. So anyone out there that thinks they want to start a business in downtown Colonial Beach, you know, we would love to talk to you, just like the folks that are going to run the wine shop. You know, if you have an idea and you're willing to work at it to make the business a success, we can certainly help by renovating the building, making it beautiful, and, you know, getting you a good start on the business. So anyone out there that's thinking about it, we would love to chat about that.
Great. Duke Dotson of Dotson Development, thank you very much for coming back to 88.1 to update us.
Yeah, Ted, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoy the programming on WWER, please consider making a donation. You can find out more at wwer.org/membership.